Good afternoon. My name is Nelson, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Golden Boy Promotions Ricky Hatton conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer period. If you'd like to pose a question during this time, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you'd like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. It is now my pleasure to turn the floor over to your host, Kelly Swanson. Ma'am, you may begin your conference.
Thank you, operator, and thank you, everybody, for joining us today for Ricky Hatton's conference call, his last call before the big fight, December 8th. Before I introduce Oscar De La Hoya, I just have a couple housekeeping issues. Tomorrow in Las Vegas, both Hatton and Mayweather will have back-to-back media workouts. I'm sure you've all received the information. If anyone is interested, you could give my office a call, 202-783-5500. And then on Thursday of this week, Floyd Mayweather will do his conference call, and the time is 4 o'clock Eastern Time and 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 o'clock British Time. So without further ado, we're really looking forward to Fight Week, which starts next Tuesday, and you'll be receiving a Fight Week schedule as well very momentarily within the next couple days. And now, without further ado, I'd like to turn the call over to Oscar De La Hoya, president of Golden Boy Promotions. Oscar?
Thank you very much, Kelly. We are getting closer to the big fight, undefeated. Now Ricky Hatton is looking in tremendous shape. He feels ready to go, and from the talks we've had with Robert Garcia, who's our match maker for Golden Boy Promotions, he's telling us that Ricky is looking in the best shape ever. He's never seen Ricky like this, so we're very confident that that Ricky is going to do and be the first to give that O to Mayweather. And let me tell you one thing with the odds. A lot of people are going to be losing a lot of money in Vegas, and Ricky Hatton, I believe, is in for the treat of his life. He's going to be in fight mode and ready to go, and we're just truly excited to be working with Ricky Hatton and be working with this with both fighters in this spectacular event. So without any further ado, I would like to introduce to you Ricky the Hitman Hatton.
Okay, thank you, Oscar. We'll have an opening statement from Ricky, and then we'll turn over the call to media questions. Due to the large volume of interest with this call, we will have the media ask one question, and then if we have time, you can get back in the queue. But we need to take one question per media. I do know from Mr. Hatton's first call that he gives great answers, so I'm sure some of you will have your questions answered within his responses to some of the other questions. And just one more programming note, we still have the third episode of Mayweather Hatton 24/7 is coming December 2nd, Sunday, this Sunday, December 2nd at 10 p.m. And so the other two parts of the series, if you haven't seen them already, are on HBO On Demand at this time. Okay, so now, Ricky, if you could just make a brief opening statement. We do have a lot of people on the call, so we'd like to open it up to the media as soon as possible. Ricky Hatton?
Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us this morning. I'm sure every fighter says the same thing when their travel preparations go in. They all sit around and say they're in the best shape of their life, but it just so happens to be true again that training's gone absolutely fantastic. My sparring partners were exceptional, practically mirror image to me. My opponent, I had several sparring partners. I mean, all in all, from the 5 weeks or 6 weeks I've been sparring now, I've had maybe five, six, seven different sparring partners, and it's been great. My pad work's been great, no injuries. I've been down on the weight for some time, so my intake of food has been better than ever. My strength training with Kerry Kays has been better than ever. I mean, if I could have wrote down on a piece of paper how I wanted my preparation to go and how, at that stage I would like to be at this moment on my training camp, it's exactly the way the way it is at the minute, you know. So just raring to go. I mean, as the fight gets nearer now, you would expect me to start feeling a little more nervous. But you know, I feel my confidence is building with each day that passes by. Really, I mean, there's no doubt in my mind what the outcome of this fight is going to be. It's great to finally set foot in Las Vegas. I think when you set foot in Las Vegas soil, it's like it's upon you. It's here now, you know. So you get a little bit of a tingle down your back, you know, because you know it's finally nearly upon us. Yeah, my body clock's back on track now. Obviously, it takes maybe 3 or 4 days to get your body clock on track. What with the long flight over and the time difference, but that's you know, I'm back to normal now in that department, so to speak. So we're settled in nice to the house. We've got our routine in the gym and everything that's doing. So it couldn't be going any better at the minute. And roll on December the 8th and. No, I don't ask for much, but the only thing I ask for is that every person from the press picks for Floyd Mayweather to win this fight, I think. But I'm sure you've all got a lot of questions you want to ask. So rest assured, I'm in the best shape of my life, and looking forward to shocking the world. So thank you for listening, and fire away with your questions, guys.
Okay, great. Operator, we'll go ahead and start questions now.
Thank you. Once again, if you do have a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone phone. Our first question is coming from Dan Raphael.
Hello, Ricky. How are you today?
I'm great, thanks.
Hey, Ricky, can you talk? I've been watching 24/7, like I'm sure most of the folks have, and I've seen also you yourself in the way you interact with Billy in the corner and the way you guys get on outside the ring at the press conference and such. Can you just talk a little bit about the bond that you and Billy have developed over the years? You know, he's quite a character, it seems like, and, you know, obviously you like to have a good time also, but you seem to get real serious, obviously, in the ring when you're training, but it seems to be a real friendly relationship outside the ring. Just talk about the way you guys get on with each other and how that's worked over your 43 fights.
Yeah, I mean, everybody, you know, needs to realize that, you know, it seems that, it seems to be when you look at my camp, or Billy Graham's camp for that matter, it seems to be a lot of laughing and joking and a little bit of fun here and there and Mickey taking and stuff like that. But, you know, one thing that's priority, one thing that is probably, you know, country mile ahead of everything else is how hard we train. You know, it's just, we just like to make the training fun, me and Billy. But the training is, I know one thing for certain, you know, I hear that Floyd Mayweather is a fantastically fit fighter. You know, he very rarely gets tired in his training, and he gives him, you know, obviously where he's got in boxing, that goes without saying, but I can categorically say that there's one thing that is unanimous in this fight: he won't be training as hard as Ricky Hatton, and he won't be in as better shape as Ricky Hatton. But yeah, me and Billy have been mates for years. I started working with Billy when I was 15, 16 years of age, you know, and we hit it off right from the from the start. Sometimes, you know, when we talk about tactics or opponents, you know, he'll already be, you know, we won't even have to say anything, and we'll both be thinking it. You know, he only has to say one word to me, and I know what he means. You know, and that's the way you should be with your trainer. You've got to be on the same wavelength as your trainer. You know, so and you know, the funny thing about me and Billy, if boxing ended 5 years ago, we'd have still been mates. You know, it's we've never had nothing more than a handshake between us, me and Billy, in all the years we've been together, which in boxing these days is, I would probably say, is quite a rare thing, you know. So, no, it's a wonderful relationship, and there's times to laugh and joke, and there's times to be serious, and, you know, when it comes to boxing, you won't get two more serious men in the sport than me and Billy Graham. I think that will show by the performance I put on and the shape that I'm in come December 8th, really. But we're just... We're just two local lads from Manchester, from the housing estates, that have done very, very well. And sometimes when you get to a certain level of certain profile, I suppose, you know, people always expect you to act differently. But we don't. You're always getting on in standstill. We say what the first thing that comes into our mind, really, which I think on the 24/7 program has made for quite entertaining viewing at times.
Okay, great. Next question, please.
Thank you. Our next question is coming from Bernard Fernandez.
Yeah, Ricky, a lot of us had read the story in ESPN, the magazine, about you know, the fact that you've, throughout your career, tended to go up 35, sometimes even 40 pounds between fights. How familiar are you with Roberto Duran's history of doing the same thing, and how amazing is it that he was able to stay on top or pretty close to the top for 30 years?
Yeah, me and Roberto had a lot in, and I have a lot in common with my hero. We never take a backward step. We're very, very passionate. We're very, very fiery characters. Yeah, fighting style, great to watch. You know, but yeah, we let ourselves go. We have enjoyed ourselves. I mean, a lot of people would say, well, that would affect your longevity. I mean, it certainly didn't affect Roberto Duran's longevity, but I suppose it can do. But I mean, you know, a lot of people have said for years, and that's the whole purpose. I mean, Floyd's tried to insult me by calling me Ricky Fatten, but what he doesn't realise is I called myself Ricky Fatten in the first place. You know, it's, you know, I do put on a lot of weight in between me fights and that, and that's the whole reason of putting a Ricky Fatten T-shirt on after the fight, because for so many years now, press and critics have turned around and said, well, he's too much weight, he's put too much weight on, you know, he's, you know, I think it was the Koshyzou fight when it comes to the forefront, when I put on about 40 pounds, and then they turned around and said, oh, Ricky Fatten won't last four rounds, he's put on too much weight, and, you know, it seems like, I feel like saying change the record a bit now. You've been going on about this for the last maybe 6-7 years, and in that time now I've won 4 world titles, 2 weight divisions, you know, probably one of the longest unbeaten runs in British boxing, and I'm fighting the pound-for-pound best fighter in the world, you know, so maybe it's time you should stop pointing the finger at me, weight, because obviously it's whatever I'm doing, it's working for me. It certainly worked for Roberto Duran, and up to now it's working for me. You know, I always feel the need, you know, before I start training camp, I need to be out of shape. I need to put loads of weight on. I need a bit of a mountain to climb, so I knuckle down to it, you know. So, well, I mean, the unique thing about boxing is training methods. There's no right way or wrong way, you know. Ideally, it would be better if I didn't put as much weight on, but that's the way I am. That's what makes me what I am, you know. It worked for Duran, it worked for me. It might not work for others. I know Floyd doesn't put an ounce on in between his fights, but every fight is different. That's what makes it such a unique sport.
Thank you. Our next question is coming from George Rosenwasser of the Valley News.
Hello, Ricky. Good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted to know if you're happy with the way you've been portrayed in 24/7, and have you learned anything about Floyd Mayweather in the show?
A little bit. You know, I've been happy the way I've been portrayed. I mean, the way I've been portrayed is the way I am. You know, one thing I think that will endear me to fans is the honesty that I have. You know, I don't lie about a single thing. You know, people say, do you like to have a drink of alcohol? And I say, yeah, of course I love to. And do you like fat foods? Yeah. And do you put weight on? Yeah. And, you know, hence people who are maybe a little bit more vainer or, you know, would probably not admit to that. You know, I do. And I think with what you see with me, you know, you see an honesty in my life, the way I am, period. There's an honesty in the way I train and prepare for me fights. And, you know, I like to think Ricky Hatton has, like, there's more of a whole package to him. It's not just, you know, my fan base isn't just because of the way I fight. It's the way I am and the way I act. And I think it portrays me to be exactly what I am, just a normal kid doing very well at what he does. And, you know, it's been great. And as far as learning anything from Floyd, it's nice to see the little bits that he does. You know, I think some things should be left remained unsaid, and I mean, it's been quite public on 24/7 of the fallout with his father, Floyd Senior, which is a shame, bearing in mind how close I am to my family. But, you know, he's he's putting things right in the sense, you know, you see him spending time with his kids. So, I mean, that's probably another side of Floyd that the fans have been able to, you know, to see. But I'm enjoying the 24/7, so I'm liking what I'm seeing from his training camp. You know, and I like watching his pad work, because although it's fantastic for his hand speed, I think it's a lot of training in the comfort zone. You know, hitting the speed ball and just, you know, hitting the bag and hitting the pad very, very lightly with very little power, I might add. And also the person, you know, Carlos Baldemir, who he's sparring with, which I think Carlos Baldemir certainly isn't the quickest, and he plods forward as opposed to move forward. So I think, which when they think they've got, if they've got Baldemir in to spar to emulate me, then that's a very, very good sign, because I think Baldemir, no disrespect to Carlos Baldemir, when he was in the best shape of his life when he fought Floyd, he was far from fit and quick enough. So I don't know what he's going to be like when he's out of shape, you know. So there's a lot of positives I'm looking when I see Floyd in the 24/7. Also, the trouble has arisen with his hands again, and which is common knowledge that Floyd has bad hands. I'm just wondering from my point of view, I mean, when on the night, if Floyd Mayweather beats Ricky Hatton, which I don't think he will, but if Floyd Mayweather was to beat Ricky Hatton and it was a fair result, I would hold my hands up and say, well, I was beaten by the better man. But on the night, if I beat Floyd Mayweather, and it is seems to be a very fair result, I hope Floyd Mayweather doesn't blame it on the dancing and doesn't blame it on his hands.
Thank you.
Next question, please.
Our next question is coming from Robert Morales of Los Angeles Daily News.
Hi, Ricky. How are you today, man?
I'm great. Thank you.
Listen, considering that you are going up against the fighter that most experts believe is the pound-for-pound best in the world, what would a victory over him mean to you in your heart, and what would it mean for your career?
Well, it would mean everything. I mean, being a world champion was obviously the dream of every youngster who starts off boxing. I mean, but I become the best fighter in my weight division when I beat Kostya Zou. But to be the best fighter in your weight division in the world is one thing, but to become the best fighter in the world in any weight division, I think it just goes without saying. It's said over back in Britain, not my words, the press's words. It would be the biggest win in British boxing history. So I think that it doesn't need me to say what it would mean to my career and what it would mean to my to my life, really. To be the best in boxing, period, would really be something else, and I just can't wait. Just can't wait. I believe I'm going to do it. There's not a doubt in my mind. You know, the more, you know, obviously 24/7 shows the best bits, but I mean, the more and more I watch of the 24/7 show, it fills me with confidence. You know, as the fight gets nearer, where sometimes doubt can jump in, it's not been the case. You know, it's all the days you dreamed of. It's massive. It's huge.
Next question, please.
Thank you. Our next question is coming from Chuck Johnson of USA Today. Excuse me.
Hello, Ricky. How you doing?
I'm great, thanks.
With both of you guys being unbeaten, you and Mayweather, I just want to know, in terms of how you view your record, how important is that O to you, being unbeaten, to your self-esteem and how you feel about yourself as a fighter?
Well, yeah, I mean, anyone, you know, I mean, a defeat doesn't finish your career. I think fighters through history have shown that. But, I mean, it is nice to have that unbeaten run. You know, it's, you know, for your marquee value, obviously financially being unbeaten, especially when you've got a long unbeaten run like me and Floyd, you know. So it is important. It's not the be-all and end-all. I mean, fighters have got beat and come back to be better fighters, you know, so it isn't the be-all and end-all, but, yeah, it is important. If you're a fighter and a fighter in your heart, it's pride, you know, it's always nice to enter the ring, you know, knowing that you've never tasted defeat. So, yeah, it is important.
Thank you. Our next question is coming from Gareth Davies of the Daily Telegraph.
Hi, Ricky. How are you doing?
I'm all right, mate.
Ricky, at the beginning of this conference call, Oscar De La Hoya said a lot of people are going to be surprised because they're going to lose a lot of money at the fight, probably referring to the fact that he's backing you to win. How do you feel about him backing you to win, and has he given you any technical advice? Because he's obviously been in with Mayweather before.
Yeah, we've had, you know, chats along the way of, you know, styles and what might work and what might not work. Obviously, Oscar sometimes leaves us to our own devices because, I mean, what me and Billy Gane have done from day one, I mean, it's got me to this point. It's won me 43 fights unbeaten and all them world titles, you know. So I think Oscar realises that he knows what we're doing. But obviously, you know, little bits of advice and little bit, especially with Oscar sharing the ring and being the fighter and the person he is, you know, you take great courage from someone who you look up to give you advice. But yeah, I think the balance has been great. We've had advice from Oscar. The sparring partners have been good. Me and Billy, you know, we've got here all these years, you know, but so we have been doing something right, you know. So no, it just couldn't be going better. But it does make you feel good when someone like Oscar, who certainly knows boxing, you know, believes you can do it. And I think a lot of people in Vegas are going to lose money because I think everybody's picked Floyd to win me, and everyone's expecting him to win me. And I think you've got very few people that are picking me to beat him, which really suits me fine. In fact, I wouldn't give two shits if everybody picked Floyd Mayweather, because I know how sweet that's going to be when when I do it. And the last time nobody gave me a chance was against Kostya Zou, and we made him quit. And I think I'm going to make Floyd quit.
Thank you. Our next question is coming from Ron Lewis of The Times.
Hey, Ricky.
Hey, Ron.
Firstly, can you tell us what you're still doing training-wise now you're in Vegas? And last week, Kerry told us that he'd, as he put it, upped your nutrition for the fourth time. Is he actually letting you eat anything you actually want to eat yet?
No, I mean, it'd be foolish to eat anything you want to eat. I mean, you can eat as much as you want to eat, but obviously the key is it's got to be good food. There's no point in, if your weight's all right and that, you're going out eating barbecue spare ribs and chips. I mean, that's not going to do you any good. But, I mean, my weight is is well on target. I'm on the weight now, so I can increase my diet. The diet's got better as the weeks go by. I mean, as the training intensifies, the diet's got better. So I'm bearing in mind, you know, I won't, for this fight, I'll be in as good a shape. I'll probably have more energy because I won't have to deplete my body down to the 10 stone, to the 140-pound mark. I've got to just get down to 147. So, everything's going perfect.
Thank you. Our next question is coming from Michael Katz of Miami Herald.
Hi, Ricky. How you doing?
Hi, Michael.
Hey, going back to Kostya Zou, another fight where nobody really gave you much of a chance to win. Do you have that same kind of feeling coming into this fight as you did going into that fight?
Very much so. Very much so. I mean, nobody gave me a prayer against Kostya Zou. And I think Floyd would like to think that with this being the biggest stage I will have boxed on, you know, I think he'd like to think that the pressure would get to me. Well, I think I've always boxed in front, although it is the biggest stage I've boxed on, bearing in mind I'm fighting for the pound-for-pound title. But, you know, before I was world champion, I was boxing in front of bigger crowds than I'm going to box on December the 8th, you know. So I think I've always been had the right preparation. I've been groomed for this level. I think that with the Kostya Zou fight, nobody give me a prayer. You know, with me pressure when I put people on you, you know, put pressure and I march forward, everybody expected me to walk onto one of them right hands of Kostya Zou, and that would have been it. But my determination, my stamina, my chin, everything, you know, I was oblivious to tiredness and I was oblivious to pain that night because of the man I was facing. And I knew if I left him alone for just half a second, he'd have probably lined me up and nailed me with that big right hand. So with Floyd Mayweather, it's a different, you know, a totally different style. But I think to beat Ricky Hatton, I think maybe you need that firepower to stop me coming. I mean, if you don't hurt me, I'll keep coming all night. And although Floyd has different attributes and different talents to Kostyuzu, I mean, you know, probably Floyd has the speed and the defense and the boxing ability over the Kostyuzu, but Kostyuzu, you know, had the strength inside, had the physical strength, had that diamond right hand, you know. So what I'm trying to say is I think, you know, I think you need power. I've been more worried facing power than speed in many ways, because I think you've got to stop me coming at you. I mean, that's one thing you've got to do. You've got to stop Ricky Hatton coming at you, because I'll keep coming all night unless you hurt me. And has Floyd got the power to hurt me? I have no doubt at times in the fight he might leave me a bit of a merry dance and pick me off with his speed and his wonderful boxing ability. But can he do it for 12 rounds? Has he got the power to stop me coming? I mean, Kostyuzu couldn't do it with that big murderous right hand. I think it will be difficult for Floyd. But obviously Floyd has other strengths, his speed, his defence, his, you know, his boxing ability. So it's different problems to the Kostyuzu fight. But ultimately, has he got the firepower to deal with my educated pressure? And that's the key, educated pressure. Yeah.
Thank you. Our next question is coming from David Isaacson of the Sunday Times.
Hi, Ricky. I read some time ago that you met Floyd at a boxing fight, and when you approached him, he was quite rude to you. Would you mind taking us through that and just saying whether that's going to play a factor at all in terms of your mindset going into this fight?
I don't think it'll affect my mindset going into the fight. It was when Bernard Hopkins fought Jermaine Taylor, and it was blown up to be a little bit worse than what it actually was, to be honest with you. I mean, I think we were both sat on the same row. And he was sat a few seats further down, so he had to obviously walk past me. And I stood up and I went to shake his hand, and he wouldn't shake my hand, and he muttered something under his breath. I think it's something along the lines, you know, let's get it on, I'll knock you out, or something like that. So, I mean, he didn't want to shake my hand, you know. That's the talk. I mean, it wasn't low incident, pushing and shoving or arguments. It wasn't merely a scene, but out of respect, I just. Hi, Floyd, how you doing? Went to shake his hand, and he just dismissed me, you know, as if I'll shake your hand, want to beat you type attitude. But I have to be honest, I didn't lose a wink of fucking sleep over it, you know. So, I mean, that's, that's Floyd, really. I mean, and it's sort of like we should all, you get to a stage where you know that's the norm, and you shouldn't lose any sleep and get worked up about it. But no, that won't affect me before the fight. I think, not just how Floyd has acted in this fight, it's how he acts in all his fights, you know, so I don't take anything personal. I think that's just Floyd.
Thank you. Our next question is coming from David Anderson of the Daily Mirror.
Hello, Ricky, you okay?
I'm great, mate.
Hey, Ricky, I was just curious to see how you're getting on in that house. It sounded like some sort of student house with you, Matthew Macklin, and Martin holed up watching Porky's videos. I hope you're all behaving yourselves.
The last thing I think, last category we'd come under is students, I think, but... No, I mean, it's just a busy house, you know. We've got, you know, there's me, Matthew, my brother, Matthew Macklin, Lee Beard, who's one of the coaches at the gym. We've got a couple of security guards that keep an eye on the house when we're out, you know, so, and, you know, people are coming in and out of the house, Paul Speak, for a fighting centre, you know, so I'm not one of these fighters that likes to shut himself away from everything. I like my life to... I don't want people to act different around me. I don't want my life to change as much, although, you know, it is, you know, we're missing your homely surroundings and your home comforts, like back home, but you try and get on as much as normal as possible, don't you? And that's what we're doing, really, Dave.
Thank you. Our next question is coming from Diego Martinez of Reform Newspaper.
Hi, Ricky. You're here from Roman Newspaper of Mexico. Ricky, when you watch videos, what mistakes you have found in Floyd Mayweather's style?
What mistake? Well, he has a lot in his armoury. He's very, very good at what he does. He's got a wonderful defence, and he likes to take the steam out of his opponents by making them miss. There's nothing more tiring than when you're missing your opponent. But... yeah, I mean, he has a lot of strengths, but I mean, I think the weaknesses he has is he waits for his opponent, and he, against me, he shouldn't be waiting too long, because someone who's constant and on here all the time, as me, I'm, I mean, who doesn't really tire and get stronger as the fight progresses. He doesn't want to weigh around too much, but, no, he's got fantastic hand speed. I mean, but I think my style's got all the attributes to, you know, to diffuse what he does. I mean, speed's a good thing, but I move in very, very quickly on my opponent, stick to him like glue for, you know, for long periods, you know, have a constant body attack, you know, and generally he's struggled against people that put the pressure on him, Castillo, the first fight, against De La Hoya, and really, I wouldn't even call that pressure, to be honest with you. I mean, if that's what pressure is, and he tends to not like pressure, then I think he's got a whole lot of trouble coming his way.
Thank you. Our next question is coming from Steve Karp of Las Vegas Review.
Good morning, Ricky.
Good morning.
When Manny Pacquiao fought here in October, he talked about the tremendous burden that comes with being a national hero. And I'm wondering, for you back in the UK with all the people that are coming over here to support you, as well as back at home, how do you deal with the pressure that comes and the responsibility that comes with being a national hero?
I deal with it quite well, really. I mean, it all depends on your frame of mind. For me, it's just another fight. I'd like to think that there'd have been more nerves at this stage, but I mean, I think as the fight gets nearer and doubt starts creeping into your mind, you know, the pressure does tend to come on you. But I mean, doubt hasn't come into my mind yet. This isn't a fight where there's the slightest bit of doubt in my mind that I'm going to lose, you know. So obviously, in knowing that you're fighting an opponent that you believe you can beat, you know, the pressure doesn't come on you as much as what you would maybe if you was going in there expecting to lose, you know. So, but no, I mean, I have a fantastic following. It spurs me on. It makes me feel proud. I get a huge buzz of when fight fans turn around and say that, you know, we love how much they love me and that I'm the people's champion, you know, and they respect me because of all the success that I've had. I haven't changed one little bit. My feet are still firmly on the ground and I look at myself as no different to the man in the crowd, you know, so that spurs me on, I think. It doesn't make me, you know, where the pressure should get on you. It doesn't get on me. The only pressure I have on myself is to myself. Needless to say, I want my fans to do my fans and country proud, but I try and use it to my advantage as a disadvantage, and it's all down to the mentality of the person or to yourself, you know, really. I mean, my mentality is it doesn't affect me. I just look forward to doing them proud rather than, I don't look forward to, you know, the burden of letting them down. I look forward to how proud I'm going to do when I do win.
Thank you. Our next question is coming from John Dillon of the Daily Express London.
Good evening, Ricky. How are you?
I'm great, thanks.
Good. I wonder, could I turn it over to Mr. De La Hoya and ask a question there and ask for his assessment of the two fighters' styles and his assessment of the contest?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, I wonder, could you just give us your assessment of, I mean, the both fighters with two very contrasting styles. Just tell us what you think, really.
Well, I mean, my thinking is I've been in there with Floyd Mayweather, and, you know, we fought at 154 pounds, even though he was lighter, probably weighing around 150, 151. Obviously, the power is different, where Floyd really doesn't rely on power. He relies more on his speed. And from what I've seen with Hatton, you know, he relies on both, you know, because he has both. He has speed and power. You know, and I think the difference with any fighter that Hatton has faced is that Hatton brings intelligent pressure. You know, and I think that's the key word there. He not only comes forward and puts pressure on you more than I did and even more than Castillo did, but he does it in a very intelligent way. And so I think that's going to play a big part in this fight. And, you know, it's going to be a tremendous fight. You know, you're going to have the both of the best fighters in that ring that night. And, you know, it's all about who's going to be in the better shape and who's going to want it more. And, you know, it's going to be a great fight.
Thank you. Our next question is coming from Mark Staniford of Press Association.
Hi, Ricky. How are you doing?
Great, thanks.
There's quite a few obvious comparisons from a British point of view between this fight and Lloyd Hunnigan's win over Donald Curry all that time ago. I just wondered if you'd seen tapes of that fight and whether there was anything you can take from it, and, you know, if you appreciate those certain similarities.
Yeah, it was similar. I think most people would have had John Curry, the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world at the time. And I think what Floyd's best attribute when he came into the ring was his fearless approach. You know, he got into the ring and, it was like Floyd probably looked at Don Curry, I don't care who you've beat or who you've won or how many titles you've won or how many weight divisions. Or, you know, he didn't look at the stats, he just looked at the man. And, you know, he went out there with that, jumped right on him straight away, let the punches go, combinations, I mean, real, put the pressure on him, controlled pressure, and totally threw him out of his stride and beat him up in the end, you know. So, you know, it's stuff like that, you know. I mean, nobody gave Floyd Hunnigan, nobody gave Floyd Hunnigan a chance. Nobody gave me a chance against Kostya Zou, you know. And some, you know, Roberto Duran against Sugar Ray Leonard, the first fight, nobody gave Duran, a chance, really. I mean, sometimes the fellow with the most talent doesn't always win. It's about having the tactics right, who wants it most, who's in the best shape, you know, who gets off to the better start. And there's lots of things in the, you know, in the equation that sometimes result. And if boxing has told us one thing, you know, look how many upsets there's been through boxing history, really, you know. And so, you know, not anybody who says that this fight is beyond me. I mean, I think I've got the style, you know, to give Floyd Mayweather absolutely nightmares. I mean, when you think the fights he's come closest to losing was obviously against Oscar last, Oscar put the pressure on him, and Castillo the first fight. Castillo, you know, in a lot of people's eyes, won the first fight. And seeing a lot of people would turn around and say, well, when, you know, Ricky put on a better performance against Castillo than Floyd did, but then you'll also have some that will say, well, Castillo had seen better days. But if I can make a statement now without sounding too disrespectful to my old friend Jose Luis Castillo, even Castillo in the first fight against Mayweather, when he was seen to be in his pride, if you narrow it down and say, was Castillo's footwork as good and as quick as Ricky Hatton's is? You know, was his body punching as good as Ricky Hatton's? Does he move in on his opponent as quick as Ricky Hatton does? Is he as big a hitter as Ricky Hatton has? Does he have as much boxing ability as Ricky Hatton does? Does he have the better work rate than Ricky Hatton? I would have to say no to all of them. And as you know, he nearly did it. You know, so I take huge confidence out of that, you know. So I know what I'm up against. I know what his strengths are. I know what his weaknesses are. And I know what I think he tries to do in the fight. I think I've got the tools for the job, and that wasn't meant to be a disrespect to Jose Luis Castillo. I mean, but I think in every department, from footwork to strength to speed to boxing ability to power to work rate, I think even in his prime, I think I edge it in every department. And when you think Castillo nearly beats Floyd, you know, that's the way I see the fight going.
Thank you. Our next question is coming from Raul Sainz of Notifight.
Hello, Ricky.
Hello.
Ricky, in the last teleconference with Floyd, he mentioned that he's not fighting the best British boxer right now. For him, the best British boxer is Joe Calzaghe. But knowing that Joe Calzaghe never has fought out of Europe, what are your opinion about that?
Well, people will make their own minds up how good they actually think I am, or how good they think I am in the standings of British champions, you know, past and present. I mean, it's up to people to make their own mind up. I mean, I let them make it up. I'm not going to go out and say, I think I'm the best, I think this, I think I'm that. But, you know, little comments like that, you know, makes me, you know, it fills me with confidence for the fight, really, because he's not as clever as what he thinks. One minute he's saying he's the best pound for pound, he's saying he's the best pound for pound fighter in the world, and in fighting me, he's not fighting the best fighter in Britain. What a dickhead he's going to look when he gets beat.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is coming from Eddie Goldman of Seconds Out Radio.
Thank you. Hi, Ricky. Sorry I had to join the call a little late, and I hope this hasn't been asked, but I don't know if you've gotten a chance to see the full HBO 24/7 series that they're showing in the States here. On the second episode, they seem to hint that maybe Floyd is having some problems with his hands. They showed him getting physical therapy a couple of times a week, and at the same time they showed you doing all the leg presses and messing up Billy Graham's finger during the training. Do you think there's anything to that, and that may be a factor in the fight?
Well, I mean, Floyd has always had problems with his hands. I mean, that's pretty common knowledge. I mean, he's had it for all his fights, apparently. We never saw it on the last 24/7 fight, the last 24/7 build-up with Oscar and Floyd. So, I don't know. I mean, he might be having trouble with his hands. I mean, I don't know. And to be honest, I can only worry about how my preparation is going. I mean, I'm not bothered about Floyd. If Ricky Hatton's preparation is okay, that's all I'm bothered about. But I think, as I said earlier, to when answering the questions to one of the guys, I mean, I'm not going to turn around and call Floyd a liar. I mean, it's common sense. It's common knowledge. Everybody knows he has problems with his hands. But, you know, I don't think it will happen. But if Floyd Mayweather was to beat me on the night, and it was a fair result, I would hold my hands up and say, well, you know, I got beat by the better man. But I think, you know, if I beat Floyd Mayweather on the night and it was a fair result, I hope Floyd doesn't bring out the old hurt me hand gag, you know, because, I mean, we're the best pound-for-pound fight. I mean, that's, you know, if you wanted to be, you know, a cynic, you know, you could probably say, well, if you've got an injury, you want to hide the fact, so why is he telling everyone? You know, so if I beat Floyd Mayweather on the night, you know, and it's a fair result, I would like to think Floyd would be man enough and turn around and say, well, I got beat by the best man on the night. The best man won. And I would hate to think that he would turn around and say, well, I got beat because I went in the dancing competition, or I got beat because of my hands. You know, that's just the way I see it.
Hey, operator, we have time for one more question, then we'll let Mr. Hatton go train. So we'll have one more closing question from the media.
Thank you. Our final question is coming from Francis Walker of BlackAthlete.com.
Wow. Once again, I have the final question. real quick. Ricky, Mayweather talks a lot of trash, and he's talked down to you on a number of different occasions. Do you think it's an attempt for Mayweather to try to get into your head, or is it just all for show?
I don't know. I'm not really bothered. I think you need to know me personally before to realise that whatever he's doing, I mean, it's not getting under my skin. I mean, he's tried to insult me by calling me Ricky Fatten. I mean, doesn't he realise I've named myself Ricky Fatten in the first place? I mean, I think everything he's tried to do, I think he's an insecure person. I think that's why he surrounds himself with five or six bodyguards, you know, and they all seem to be yes men, you know, he always needs people whispering in his ear, you're the man, you're number one, you're going to do this, you're going to do that, and that's all a sign of insecurity. And, you know, and it's just, you know, I think, you know, you don't need anybody whispering in your ears, you know, to tell them the best, if you believe that. If you believe you're the best, then you don't need anybody reminding you or reassuring you, and that's the way I feel. But no, I think he's an insecure person, and I think he does like to play mind games. And I don't think he does it to try and intimidate you, because he needs to look in the mirror. He's not exactly what you call intimidate looking with his nice suits on and his bling. He doesn't exactly make me want to run down the street away. But I think what he tries to do is get under your skin and annoy you. You know, more annoy you rather than scare you. And you know, he must surely know when he sees me and he looks in my eyes. He knows that I'm not scared of him, and he knows that I believe I can win, and he knows I have no fear with him. So I think, you know, especially when we did the promotional tour, I think when he realised what little reaction he got from me, I think that would have affected him more than me. I mean, but, you know, it's like water, as I was saying with everything, it's like water off a duck's back to me. really does not bother what he says, what insults he throws at me. Really could not care less. From the bottom of my heart, couldn't care less.
Okay, great. That concludes our conference call. Ricky, please, we really, really thank you for taking the time out of your schedule as the fight gets closer. And again, and just one more programming note, on Thursday, November 29th, at 4 o'clock Eastern, 1 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock British time, we will have Floyd Mayweather joining us on a conference call. So we're all looking forward to seeing everybody out at the fight next
don't
week.
Mind
and again,
if I don't
Mr.
join
Hunt.
That one, do you?
Pardon me?
You mind if I don't join that one?
Oh, I don't know. Can you come on? We'll give you the inside
I'll
number.
Give it a miss, I think.
We'll give you the inside number. No, again, thanks, everybody, for joining us. Ricky, thank you. Thanks,
indeed.
Paul Speak, for helping us arrange it. And we look forward to seeing you soon. Okay, thanks. Ricky,
thanks
so much.
Thank you. This does conclude today's Ricky Hatton conference call with Golden Boy. You may disconnect your lines at this time, and have a wonderful day.